This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Evangelist Confidence.
Shalom, family. Welcome to another week of feeding on the true Word of God. The Word brought to you by HICF Ministries. And we just want to thank God for each one of you for tuning in and listening to His Word. God bless each one of you. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank God for the father of the house and the mother of the house. Thank God for the vision which He has given to them and for giving some of us the opportunity to share this word with you this week. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Mommy. May God continue to bless and protect you. Amen. Before we delve deep into today's word, I just want us to take a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this week. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to feed at thy feet, O God. We thank you, O God, for finding us worthy to choose us, O God, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, O God. Thank you. We bless you. We worship you. And we just want to thank you for your faithfulness throughout this period, O God. Amidst the events happening around us, you've still been faithful to us. You've still been good to us. And we thank you so much, O God. Take all the praise, you take all the honor, and you take all the adoration, O God. Be thou exalted. We pray that may you come and speak to us this day, O God. We open up our hearts, Holy Spirit, sow that seed which will grow to bear fruit in thousands and ten thousands, O God. Speak to us this day. Speak to us. Give us that word we need to carry us throughout the month and throughout the year, O God. The word that will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, O God. We thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. Be thou exalted and be thou magnified, O God. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank God for this opportunity. This week we just want to share on the theme, we need you now more than ever. We need him now more than ever. So right from the beginning, we noticed that God had a way of interacting with man. And throughout the Old Testament, we see God himself coming down to interact with man, giving out his instructions. And in some instances, the Holy Spirit will come onto someone, will come upon someone and use him to perform a particular task. So that was the trend we were seeing throughout the Old Testament. Fast forward to the early days of the New Testament and we see Jesus all over the place. Everything, absolutely everything was about Jesus and his ministry. He taught the people, discipled them and ministered to them. But he had come for a purpose. And in John chapter 14, we see Jesus comforting the disciples, telling them not to be troubled because he was inching closer to the end of his physical time on earth. In comforting them, he promises the Holy Spirit. He promises them the Holy Spirit, telling them not to worry, not to be troubled. And in John chapter 16 verse 7, he tells them that it is expedient, it is to their advantage, it is important and profitable to them, in fact beneficial, that he leaves. In fact, the CEV version says, I am going to do what is best for you. So in the best plan for us, it wouldn't have been beneficial, it wouldn't have been of an advantage to us if Jesus had stayed. So what was beneficial for us then? What is it that is so much of advantage for us that a whole Jesus Christ who died for us has to leave so we could have that which we earnestly needed for these times? He continues to say, because if I don't go away, the counselor, helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, strengthener will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This raises the question, does this presuppose that Jesus at that moment could not do all that he said the Holy Spirit was coming to do? I leave this for a conversation for another day. It's just from this premise, we get to know how much of a necessity we need the Holy Spirit. If Jesus had to come, had to make way for this Holy Spirit, then you can imagine his important role in our lives today. It is proven and known right from the scriptures after Jesus left till now that no successful Christian life is lived without the Holy Spirit. We need him, and much more we need him now more than ever. I can confidently say that you and I are in the now, Joel prophesied of. A story is told about this man who was into harvesting of timber. He does this using cutlass, and one day someone introduced chainsaw to him. He was told with this chainsaw he could harvest much more than he does with the cutlass. So he went to a shop and got one. After some days, he came back to the shop owner and asked the shop attendant to give back his money because he was cutting less trees with the chainsaw than with the cutlass which he was previously using. The shop owner requested for the chainsaw which he brought, and the shop owner turned the chainsaw on, and hearing the noise there, this farmer was taken aback. All along, he was using the chainsaw without the power. He was using the chainsaw without turning it on. This seemingly reflects the life of some Christians. We try so hard to do the work of ministry, to make our relationships succeed, to make it in our businesses, schools, and the like without the power needed, the Holy Spirit. And things become so frustrating and overwhelming, and we end up giving up along the way. Imagine if Jesus' ministry began with the Holy Spirit. Then for us, the presence of the Holy Spirit in us is non-negotiable. It's a must. Having the Holy Spirit in us is a must. It's something we should desire for. It's something that we should yearn for day in, day out. And so that is what we want to discuss today. The Holy Spirit in us, the presence of the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. And before we go into why we need the Holy Spirit so dearly, why we earnestly need the Holy Spirit, we just want to lay some fundamental principles. We just want to lay down some few rules before we delve into why we need this Holy Spirit earnestly at this moment. And the first principle we just want to take note is, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event. We don't just go to sleep when we are filled with the Holy Spirit initially. It is expected to be a continual thing. And so you want to be filled daily, weekly, every time with the Holy Spirit. We see the disciples being filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And again in Acts chapter 4 verses 8. We see Peter being filled with the Spirit, addressing the rulers. Again, most of the people who were filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2 were again filled in Acts chapter 4, verses 31. As such, we expected not to limit the experience with the Holy Spirit to years ago when we were filled with the Spirit. Let us daily seek Him, yearn for Him to fill us. Let us continually want more of Him. Let it be a daily thing, because it is not just a one-time event. You're not just filled with the Holy Spirit today and that is it. You don't want to be filled again. You don't need to be filled again. It's something we need daily, we need weekly, we need now and then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is the first premise which we want to set. The second fundamental rule which we want to look at is the Holy Spirit doesn't work in a vacuum. The Holy Spirit doesn't work in a vacuum. When He has come to fill us, He works with the word we have in us. Not just any word, but the word of God. He isn't effective in us if we don't give Him the word to work with. As such, you begin to worry over your health and you called on God. The Holy Spirit wants you to do away with the worry. He begins to search for that scripture that talks about not worrying. He glances through all the shelves of information you have in you, and the only thing He finds is Iroko, Netflix, romantic stories, non-biblical, motivational information, and the like. But He doesn't work with such information, and so He is not able to remind you of anything that will strengthen you through that period. The Holy Spirit becomes ineffective in us if we deprive Him of that which He needs to work with. For He uses the hearing of the Word of God for our conviction, conversion, and sanctification. He needs the Word to be able to work in us, to be able to do that work which we want Him to do in us. And so if we deprive Him of the Word of God, if we do not study the Word of God, and we just want Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is it, we go to sleep thinking the Holy Spirit will work His own works in us, that wouldn't work. He needs something to work with, and this is the Word of God. The third fundamental rule which we want to establish, which is likely to be the last one, is the Holy Spirit doesn't contradict the Word. The Holy Spirit doesn't contradict the Word. It is His utmost business on earth to reveal Christ to us and in us. His work is to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. He doesn't work in us to any human ideal, nor to any human conformity. He works in us to make us more like Christ. Jesus Christ is the standard and model by which the Holy Spirit fashions us into till the hope of His glory is manifested in us. He always works in us to not for the glory of any man or institution, but for the glory of Christ. John chapter 16 verse 14, it tells us, He shall glorify Me. How? By giving to us that which He receives from Him. And so if you are convinced to act on it, convinced to engage in that act, convinced to pursue that cause, and it contradicts the Word, then never associate it with the conviction driven by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely not. Immediately, that which you are convinced to do, that which you are convicted to engage in, contradicts the Word of God. That means it's not associated with the Holy Spirit. It is not a conviction driven by the Holy Spirit, because He acts on the Word. He only illuminates the Word in us. Amen. And so, looking at this premise with all these fundamental rules established, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need Him so much in this period? Why do we need Him urgently now more than ever? And the first reason we want to see why we need the Holy Spirit so earnestly is that we need conviction in the world. We need conviction in the world. Right from the beginning, our relationship with God began with the Holy Spirit. We were drawn to salvation by the Holy Spirit. It is He who convicts us of the wrong state we find ourselves in and builds in us a desire for a fulfillment that is only achieved by having Christ. It is He who convicts us of sin, that He may reveal to us the great sacrifice for our sins. Convicts us of righteousness, that we will see the need to take on the righteousness of Christ. John chapter 16 verse 8 tells us, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world and show where right and wrong and judgment lie. He will convict them of wrong. This work of conviction doesn't just end at salvation. It continues through our walk with Christ. So at every moment, even at a personal level, at every moment when we are faced with alternative, he convicts us of what is right. He convicts us of what is right and wrong, that we may be able to choose the right path. And so looking at the world, looking at things that are happening, we take a look around us and realize that people need to be convicted. The world needs to be convicted, and we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever for this work of the conviction, or else we might be acting on our own and we will never be able to succeed. The second reason why we need the Holy Spirit now much more than ever is because we need guidance. We need guidance. In John chapter 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. Jesus doesn't promise that the Holy Spirit will control us. He says he will guide us. I reckon there are times when we wish he will control us, when we want to wake up at dawn to pray, but the sleep is so nice, when we want to fast, but the stuff in our fridge will not allow us to, when we do not want to mama, but we just, when we see that post, when that message comes in, we begin to find ourselves murmuring before we could even say Jack. But he will never force us. He is our guide, not our controller. He will never take our ability to choose to follow his leading away from us. One other thing that we should bear in mind is when we are being guided by something or someone, we see through the lens of that person. So if you get on your bike or you get in your car and you enter the location in your map, you no more follow the route you know, but you follow the direction of the GPS. You begin to see where you are going through the GPS. And it is the same with the Holy Spirit. We see through the Holy Spirit. We are led through the Holy Spirit. And so if we give him the opportunity to guide us, we see the direction through his leading. We are crowded with so much information, and choosing the way that leads to his perfect will has become difficult. We see so many ways that looks like, and the narrow way. We thought much information might help us make the right decisions, but we are now faced with so much adulterated information that we seem not to know which path to take. What we need most at this moment is the Holy Spirit at our personal level, in the church, in our nation, and in the world at large. We need a guide. We need someone to lead us. We need someone to go ahead of us that we will follow. And this person, when he comes, we know that he wouldn't control us. And so when he comes, we need to be very sensitive to his presence in us and yield to his leading. Amen. The third reason we want to look at for why we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever is, and it's closely related to the second point, we need a guide to the truth. We need a guide to the truth. We find ourselves in an environment, in a period where you can find a university professor vehemently defending abortion, distribution of condom to students, prioritizing science over what God can do. Gossiping has now become storytelling. Not attending church for like a month and nothing moves you. My brother, my sister, we need the hymn that has been sent now more than ever. Some years back at my workplace, there was this argument. This female colleague was strongly arguing why it was important for a lady to have sex before she agrees to marry a guy, without pretense, boldly stating her point. A few months ago, a lady posted her YouTube link on how to go about issues if you are a student in China and you get pregnant. I got intrigued, not because I had gotten anyone pregnant or intend to, just by the way. So I went to watch the video, and she was proudly talking about how she got pregnant and leaving the dorm to go stay with the boyfriend. It's not as though they are even now married. And listening through, maybe you could call me a traditional man, but I felt so embarrassed and ashamed. When such issues some years back, you wouldn't have the courage to talk about them openly because biblically they were wrong. And you ask yourself, has the wrong changed to right? Sin has disguised itself and taken the form of normality. And one will lie with impudence, disrespect the elderly in the name of being bold and standing for what we believe. Where is the Holy Spirit in us? Where is the Spirit that helps us decipher what is right and wrong? We need Him so much now, more than any generation has ever needed Him. John chapter 16 verse 13, it tells us, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For us to get to the truth, we need a guide. We need someone to lead us to the untainted truth. Truth that is not based on what society thinks. Truth that is not compromised, but truth that is based on the Word of God. There is an absolute truth, never be deceived. My perception of the truth should in no way depend on where I come from, the home I grew up in, the school I attended. Absolutely not. There is the overriding truth that applies whether you are black or white, man or woman. That is where the Holy Spirit guides us to. The Holy Spirit guides us to this truth through illumination. By illuminating the Word to us, He guides us to this truth. See, you can read the Bible from cover to cover. If you do not have the Holy Spirit to let every word, every verse and chapter to you, it shall be like any other book. It shall be like any other book to you. And one other way He leads us to this absolute truth is by teaching us. Why do we need a teacher? It's partly because we have a need, a desire to want to acquire knowledge and recognizing there is someone who knows and has what we need. John 14 verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Teaching you all things doesn't mean you become all-knowing and grow wings full of pride. No, He will teach you all things you need to know. And again, He does this when you engage Him in the study of the Word. I think we cannot emphasize enough how much the Word is important in the work of the Holy Spirit. Another form of this teaching is through reminding us of the Word in situations, which presupposes you should have at a time studied, not just read the Word. And in that moment of studying, you perhaps did not understand it, and a situation comes up, and bingo, the Holy Spirit brings the scripture into memory, and the meaning becomes so vivid to you. That is not to say when we have the Holy Spirit, we don't need others to teach us. No, absolutely not. What it means is when we have the Holy Spirit and we receive counsel, it resonates with us. He, the Spirit in us, agrees with that counsel which we receive. And that is what happens. We need a teacher. We need a guide. We need someone to illuminate the Word to us. And this is what is going to lead us to the truth. And amidst all this adulterated information that we have around, we need the Holy Spirit to be able to decipher right from wrong. Amen. The fourth point we want to look at why we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever is we need hope. We need hope. Romans chapter 15 verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just take a look first at yourself, whether you do not need anything to cling onto at this moment. Then take a look at your immediate surrounding, and you will find people living lives as though there is no hope for them. Then take a larger look at the world, where close to 800,000 people die every year through suicide, representing one person every 40 seconds. People do not have any meaning in life again, because the one person that lifts us up in our times of sorrow, the one who lights the word in our hearts when we are down in the valleys, the one who strengthens us when we are weak, has been relegated to the background. And we've tried to draw hope from our academic knowledge, from technology, from our seemingly robust governance and health system. And when they begin to show cracks and inability to give us what we want, our hope is dashed out. Our hope is crushed. The Holy Spirit never disappoints. He is never short of brewing in us hope when all is down. We need Him now more than ever to draw hope from, to draw inspiration from. Amen. The fifth point we want to look at is urgency of evangelism. I think I cannot talk about why we need the Holy Spirit without mentioning this point, the urgency of evangelism. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's just take events that have happened within the first 3 months of the year. Actually, let's just limit it to the number of people who have died from COVID-19 pandemic. Perhaps that might even look far from you. So you just take a look around you, the number of people who live their lives as if they were not accountable to anyone. You will see how much we need the Holy Spirit to give us the power needed to be witnesses. We will see that need. You will see how much we need the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sins. There were times when people like John Knox cried out, "Give me Scotland or I die." This could have only been possible as a result of a hunger to see souls drawn to Christ, which only comes from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. William Booth wrote to King Edward VII saying, "Your Majesty, some men's ambition is fame, some men's ambition is gold. My ambition is souls of men." What is your ambition? What is our ambition? We've prioritized other things above souls. We need the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that resided in the apostles of old and these great reformers is what we have neglected and need most now. Can we become too busy with the cares of the world? In fact, we have become. Are we available to forsake all for our Lord? Do we allow sin to entangle us? Are we free to be bold to do His service? We take a look at this, things happening around us, and we see how fast we need to spread the word, how urgently we need to send the word across. And this drive can only be possible by the power that is given by the Holy Spirit day in, day out, and the conviction He brings to the heart of the people we will send the word to. And so let's seek Him more, so we'll be able to reach out to those out there. The sixth point I want to look at is we need help to obey God. We need help to obey God. When we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were born again. We were made new in Christ. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 tells us, we received a new spiritual heart as promised of old. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26. Now, how does a new creature in Christ grow in a life of obedience to God? Our natural thinking might assume that a Christian could grow in obedience by simply doing his or her best to walk in the will of God. Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 27 reveals that God has a better plan in mind for us. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. We are not designed to operate on our own best efforts. The Holy Spirit is the one to develop a life of obedience in us. A disobedient life would include attitudes and actions that our fallen physical bodies naturally crave. These are to be taken to the cross, to be rendered as crucified with Christ. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Colossians chapter 3 verses 5 to 6. The Holy Spirit wants to enable us to respond properly concerning such carnal desires. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you would live. Romans chapter 8 verse 13. These fallen natural cravings are described as the lust of the flesh in Galatians. They are overcome as we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Again, this work of the Holy Spirit is not automatic or robotic. Rather, it is a relational matter. It is realized in our lives through humble dependence. It is possible to suppress the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Do not quench the Spirit, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19 tells us. It is when we depend upon the Holy Spirit to lead us in the path of obedience that we will truly live as obedient children of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. And we see that we want to walk in this path of obedience. And that is the only way we are able to please God. And we can do it much more on our own, but we need the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, I want to say the Holy Spirit is just available to you and I today, just as it was available to the apostles. And we have a part to play in being filled with the Spirit. We have a part to play. We need to repent. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 tells us, Peter replied, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the initial thing we need to do is to repent. And after we've repented, we need to ask him. Luke chapter 11 verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You need to make room for him. After you've repented, after we've asked, we need to make room in us for him to come dwell. It's not as though we just welcome him and push him to a particular corner to stay in, but we need to make room for him to come dictate the pace in our lives, to come move, work in us. So we repent, we ask that he comes to fill us, and we make room for him to operate. With these premises, we see the immeasurable and undoubtedly the important role of the Holy Spirit. Just take a second thought about this. Imagine Jesus Christ coming in our days, not as the second coming, but just as he came some 2,000 years ago. Would you be limited by anything in finding your way to where he lived? Even if he were to be living in the desert somewhere, imagine the tons of people who will be floating there day in, day out. Think of the number of sick people we will be carrying to him. Most of it, if he has a phone, my God. Think of how we will call him on every little thing we will want to do. Now, with this enormous joy and benefit we would have had if we had his bodily presence in mind, he tells us it is of our advantage that he goes away, and in place of his physical presence, which we would have walked to him, he now wants to rest in each one of us, no matter where we are. What convenience we have to access in his presence. My. This is what he is offering us today. His presence in us. His presence in us day in, day out. And I pray that we will continue to seek him day in, day out. We will continue to seek him every moment. We will continue to seek him in every aspect of our lives. That we will be so much filled with the Holy Spirit, and we will be less involved in carnal things. We will be less involved in the things of the flesh, which leads to death. God bless you for listening to his word. And it is my prayer that you meditate upon this word, and you ask the Spirit to fill you, to open up more of this word unto you, as we seek to obey him, as we seek to follow his leading. God bless you. Stay blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.